Hi everyone, welcome to our LinkedIn Live. Today I have joining me both Pete and the lovely Morgan. I know you've heard from them quite a few times over the past 6 months. We thought this would be a really great opportunity to talk about the fact that the year's almost gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How's everyone feel about that?
I can't believe it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's flown by.
Yeah, and I'm an Australian, so I probably don't get this whole Thanksgiving week thing, but I know that you guys are all gearing up for a big Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. How do you celebrate Thanksgiving? How's that happen?
Oh, well, I mean, I know for my family, luckily, I'm close by. They're all local, so we celebrate by coming together. Thanksgiving, personally, is my favorite holiday because it brings people together, just the point of being together and being thankful for one another. Mm-hmm. Without quite yet the gifts or anything like that. There's no distraction besides just time with people you love.
That's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very much the same way. Thanksgiving's my preferred holiday, and it's all about just the time with your family and the people you care about.
Mm-hmm. And I hear that you're doing it twice in one day.
Yeah. We've got lunch at my parents' and then dinner at the in-laws. So it's going to be a lot of food and a lot of...
So you're going to be a bit full by
probably,
the end of the
day. More than likely.
More than likely. So, you know, a lot of people take the week off, which is really quite interesting because it's a prime time of the year. For people in business, it's probably one of the most important times in which we can really look at what we've achieved over the last 12 months. 2019 has been a very interesting year for a lot of companies. For our business, we've grown, we've evolved, and really what's been instrumental in that is innovation, you know, building out technologies that help us work faster, smarter, and harder for our clients. And as we get closer to the end of 2019, rather than slow down, we seem to be vamping up. Would you agree?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think specifically when it comes to marketing, it's a really important time to one... You know, I mean, I think marketing and during the holidays is sometimes the best avenue to really, one, gather and contact your current customer base as well as your prospects. But we're also preparing current customers as well as reminding prospects that they need to be ready come January for Q1, ready to hit the ground running. So marketing doesn't stop just because of the holidays. It's a continued process all the way through.
Yeah, definitely. And are you finding that, I mean, you do a lot of work with content and social media calendars. Are people making sure they incorporate, you know, elements of the holiday season to be inclusive? Obviously, there's lots of different religions out there. A lot of people celebrate at different times. Mm-hmm. Do you see a change in that?
Absolutely. I think, I mean, you see people become more inclusive and more accepting of different holiday traditions and different practices. And I think to mirror that in your social media is so important, especially in 2019, going into 2020, as we all become more aware of the culture around us and as it constantly changes.
So. Yeah, definitely. And there's a whole host of different things that I'm finding when I'm speaking to clients that they're really gearing up for. You know, it's the end of another quarter coming up, and sales is really important, making sure that they close off strong, but also making sure that they're well prepared for 2020. Mm-hmm. 2020 seems to be, you know, a really big year for a lot of companies. After undergoing, you know, 2-3 years of rebuilding and changing the way that we do business and how we engage with our staff and you know, our products and our solutions, you know, re-looking at them, I don't think we're the only company that's doing that. You know, everyone we talk to seems to be doing the same.
Right. Well, I think there's been this kind of idea, almost like 2020 has been a slogan for years on how are we preparing this 2020. And I know in previous businesses I've worked with, you know, they had a 3-year track to 2020, and then 2020 launches a 5-year track. Right. And so it's really this kind of theme around 2020 on how they're either revamping, relaunching, finishing a set, to your point of some changes that they've been making, ready to start new in 2020. There's just a lot of practices and processes around this idea of this really new decade launch.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you finding the same? Like, are people saying, well, hey, we've been doing content this way for this long. Yeah, what does really content look like in 2020 and beyond? You know, I'm seeing a lot of companies hire producers to do their live streams.
Sure, yeah.
So that they're producing the content
right.
as if we're a television show.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, we might slap this together and you know, do it off an iPhone and a bit of lighting and now a recorder. But I think that a lot of companies are now taking it far more seriously, and video has definitely come to the forefront. Live streaming has come to the forefront. And people are their own production company.
Right.
Are you finding that huge shift in the way, one, they resource doing
yeah.
live streams like we are today, and two, how they go about it? You know, what are they? How are they reinventing it for next year?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, video production has become so much easier these days. I mean, you can do it basically anything from an iPhone and,
yeah.
and a light ring and just in a little room. You don't need a whole film setup.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. Things like that become easier, and you can make them work for whatever size company you've got. As far as like content going into 2020, I mean, the closer we get to AI becoming just a huge part of everything around us, the more automated content's just gonna get. Whether that's email
yeah.
or
and video, they
video,
say.
Absolutely,
yeah.
video, yeah. Yeah, so automation is going to be a huge thing for 2020.
Yeah, and I was looking at how a lot of these live streams are being broadcast. You know, we're really looking at what is the future of live streaming, and you know, what role do each of us play in that? You know, today we're presenters,
mm-hmm.
And that's one role. But I think the most important roles is really behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
How are they capturing the content that we're communicating, and what's the sort of research that's done behind it? And how do we stay interesting? You know, if I listen to a podcast, I'm usually more interested in something that has a little bit of controversy or has a different way of thinking. You know, Gary Vee, for instance, he swears a little bit too much for me personally, but, you know, he's always thought-provoking. He's always coming out with outlandish content that has us thinking, or at least we resonate or laugh or you know, write it down and start using it. And so that whole production side of things is a new role. I know for our company, we need someone full-time doing it because we have such a huge demand
mm-hmm.
for content coming from us as thought leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding that other companies that are our clients that weren't traditionally thought leaders or weren't traditionally companies that had to share their voice are now going, hey, if we don't do this, we're actually going to fall behind the eight ball, and we can't afford to do that because our competitors are coming in, and if we don't keep up to date and
right.
if we don't keep leading the pack
yeah.
we'll actually lose market share and maybe not be relevant in the future.
Well, I think you bring up an interesting point because a lot of businesses have never utilized video. They maybe
mm-hmm.
never even utilize a full marketing scope of practices and processes. But what's important is they may not see anything in their business or service as thought leadership
mm-hmm.
or news relevant or newsworthy. But truly, to your point, their voice matters. Your
mm-hmm.
voice matters. Having your ideas or your experience applied to your product or your service, that is informative to people,
yeah.
and there's an audience out there wanting that information and wanting your perspective and your knowledge from
yeah.
that point.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I was a slow adopter of video
mm-hmm.
simply because, you know, I felt that it needed me to be on the video, and that's A, not the case, but B, it's a kind of a vanity point. You know, I'm like, I don't really look good on video. This is like not my thing. It's for other people. You know, I have lots of friends that are news readers, or they love being in public and they love public speaking. And whilst public speaking is a different forum, and I'm very happy to do that,
mm-hmm.
To be on a live broadcast like this or to be on a video, I'm like sitting there criticizing my voice and the way that I look and what I'm wearing and how my hair looks, and the audience is criticizing the same thing, so it's really making me feel like crap. But you kind of realize you have to get over that hurdle and go into that really public social domain and start sharing your voice, and it may be different to what somebody else thinks, and that's actually very much okay.
Right. Well, I think you bring up a really good point. There's a lot of criticism out there in any tactic that you do, mm-hmm. and then when you put yourself in a live stream, you're setting that environment up for that feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know what overweighs that negative feedback is truly the value. You know, we actively read the comments where people respond onto these videos, and we want to know what's relevant to you. We take every single feedback into consideration, from negative to positive, because there's still value to some audience while there may be criticism from others.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but the very first one we did for LinkedIn Live, we had a young guy that was working for us, and he deleted every single comment because they were, you know, there's some negative comments. It's like the sound's not loud enough. You know, somebody's clothes aren't right, somebody looked like they were homeless, you know, these sorts of comments, and he deleted all of them. And I kind of wish he hadn't, because that's the conversation that's being had online. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just have to just take it, you know, everyone has a different point of view. They're saying that for whatever reason. And in fact, I'm in marketing, so the fact that they've said that is actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Kind of reverts back to that a little
bit. Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're still getting the engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still, even if it's negative, they're taking the time to comment on your publications and videos.
Yeah.
So you're still getting engaged from their time and the resources to even do that.
Yeah.
So that takes another, you're obviously resonating somewhere, whether it's negative or positive.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, as long as they remember you,
I mean,
that's a win right there.
Right.
That's a start.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing, you know, coming up to December, now we're so close.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some Christmas trees going up today, and I'm like, wow, this is really happening. For us as a company, we, you know, support Robotic Marketer,
mm-hmm.
With marketing workshops, and the technology does the rest for us. But we have like 400 marketing strategies being done in December and January, and that's a lot. I think January is too late. Do you think that? You know, just be doing your marketing strategy in January when you should be really pushing that quarter to make sure that everything's aligned in your business, that you've got marketing campaigns going out, that you're really being front and center of that audience that's come back after the holidays and ready to kick some goals.
What's interesting is I see both sides of it. As a marketer, I say it's far too late. You should be ready to go the second the workload starts back. But being internal and understanding the reality of the sales process and people kind of sluggish after the holidays, and it might take, you know, the annual report to come out in that mid-month of January to really hit the ground running.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate reality for a lot of businesses. But truly our advice as a, you know, marketing consulting firm would be, you need to hit the ground running. You need to have your strategy in place in December, ready to go for the full cycle of 2020.
Yeah, and content, you know, from a content perspective, whilst, you know, the first 2 weeks of January are the biggest opportunity because it's slow news, it's also not an opportunity for that B2B environment because nobody's really back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's doing their content calendars now in November for January, February.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding that happening in your field?
Definitely. I think the sooner you can kind of line that up and get your ducks in a row before the year ends, the better off you'll be to start 2020 fresh, and start with fresh ideas and just ready to go, and like you said, kick some goals.
Yeah. And I'm finding, as a resource to a lot of companies, you know, things like MarkRack, you know, being able to see what stories are out there, to know what journalists to speak to, that sort of thing is really important. That PR Web, being able to distribute mass to your journalists from around the world or in specific verticals, that really help with that search engine optimization. They mightn't be the best way to hit the right journalist at the right time to get the perfect story, but certainly from a search engine optimization perspective, there's, you know, so Help a Reporter Out, which is Harrow, which is attached to MuckRack.
Yeah.
And there's also Cision. And the last one is one that originally derived out of Australia, being Source Bottle. All great leads for stories where journalists are looking for, you know, a story to carry them through over the next few months. and they're calling out to companies to provide them with content, commentary, thought leadership, or just an interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great time to really leverage that, isn't it?
Right. And I think to your point that you and I had an outside discussion prior to this, is it doesn't have to take hours and hours upon, you know, spending your days on this. It's 20 to 30 minutes every single day, seeing what's out there, and really, if they're already giving you the resources of the titles and the topics that they're looking for, then adapt your content around that, still making your product or your service, your company applicable within that frame, but they're already giving you a lead, so just close it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think last but not least is really looking at that sales cycle. How are we getting leads? You know, what are we doing from a marketing perspective to help salespeople have more hot leads in their inbox or in the sales funnel? But also looking at what, you know, what role is marketing playing in that whole lead generation area, and for how long? Now that's changing a lot. So I read a document yesterday saying that, you know, marketing really should hold that lead really until they're hot and ready to talk to a salesperson.
Interesting.
What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I know when I've helped sales in the past, you normally just warm it up for them, make the introduction. You might make 2 to 3 more contacts past the initial contact, and then that's considered warm, and then you pass it over to the sales. But it's interesting to think about hot, because that's going to decipher business to business on what is a hot lead, truly ready to talk to the sales. That definitely provides more work for the marketer, which is exciting, but it's an interesting perspective.
And I'm a bit scared, to be honest, because, you know, I fancy myself as a marketer, but at the same time, I just don't know if marketers really are equipped from a skill base to take the lead for that long.
Right. That's a well, and you know, I've always said that we all sell, whatever capacity we're all selling something. Mm-hmm. Marketers tend to sell through graphics and words. Sales professionals speak through voice, sell through voice, and have the harder close. Marketers tend to nurture leads, and that's where we really specialize on. But to your point, having that longer duration, you know, it might take back to a different type of training for marketers, because we're used to warming it up and then passing it over instead of keeping it steady for a longer duration.
Yeah, definitely. I think certainly new trainings for marketing is going to be a really big area in 2020.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think content writers will never go out of fashion.
Nope.
Because as good as AI is and as good as machine learning is, we still haven't nailed that. But I think for certain that marketers need to be retrained. We need to be really looking at what role we play in the business.
Absolutely.
What role do we play with sales? How are we aligned? How are we working together? And also the fact that so many technologies are replacing, you know, things that we've been doing. I know with Robotic Marketer, you really don't need a marketing manager to write your marketing strategy. So that's 2 weeks to maybe 4 weeks of their year they no longer need to use to write a marketing strategy. So that's a really big deal for marketers. But that's not just the only thing. That's just the technology that we developed. I mean, there's so many other technologies that are automating that whole marketing process that are really best of breed, that are real game changers, that are making our jobs so much more interesting, but also at the same time, forcing us to really reinvent ourselves and change the way that we're thinking. So I'm the first person to put my hand up and say, hey, I need to be retrained.
Right. Well, and it's, to your point, continuing to find where we best add value. We'll always add value, but how do we best provide value for that specific practice, what that specific marketing process, and even that client? Because it's always customizable. It's always changing.
Definitely.
And to your point, all the new technologies that are automating processes, and even if they're not automating, they're getting you far enough to where a lot of the tactical, just daily objectives have been taken off the marketer's plate. So where can we resurface and still add that value to the finish line?
Definitely. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I'm hoping that there's a few pearls of information that was useful for you. Don't forget to write down some of those great ideas around PR and how to obtain it. If you have any questions for Morgan, Pete, or myself, please just write it in the comments area. I really encourage you to definitely connect with Morgan and with Pete on LinkedIn. They love to hear from people. They love to respond. I promise they'll respond to every single comment. And also to follow MarketingRUS on Twitter. It's a way to have real conversations in real time. And you know, any questions you have, or you know, any thought leadership that you want to share with us, or any ideas around podcasts or you know, live streaming in the future, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.